Good morning, everybody. Who's here for the first time? Anybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's nice to have you with us. I know you, and I know your name. Yeah, you must be very careful, because if I know your name and I need somebody to come forward and help me, I normally pick on the people whose names I remember. Danielle, there we go. It's nice to have you all with us. I'm very excited to be here today. Before I start my sermon, I would like to welcome all the people that are watching from afar. We actually have a lot of people every week that watch our sermons. And this week I met with some people who were telling me that they can't wait every sometime during the week when the sermons are uploaded. They immediately go and they sit and they watch it. And it blesses us that God uses these meetings to touch not just the people that are here today, but to touch a lot of other people as well. So a warm welcome to all those watching from afar, and especially warm welcome to Johan and Mandy. They know where they're from. God bless you, and may you have a wonderful day. Interestingly enough, I had a WhatsApp from a young man who's living in New Zealand this week. And he attended our meetings at one point in time. And he says, subsequently, he has immigrated. He says, and he actually forgot all about Warriors for Christ. And a while ago, it looks like he was going through some trying times. And he says, God reminded him, and he went to search, and he found, wow, all these things are available. And he's so excited, and he's so happy. And him and his family watch it all the time. So we bless God for that. This week, I had the opportunity to minister to quite a lot of people. And I was very blessed. One thing that I firmly believe, a touch from God can change your life. You've heard me say this many times, but a good sermon is good, but it's not necessarily good for changing your life. Because I've seen so many times what happens, people sit and they listen to a sermon, it comes in there, it goes out there, they go out. By tomorrow, you will have forgotten 90% of what we have just said. But when God touches you and the power of God is released into you, it changes you. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, what made him different from the Pharisees was not the fact that he was preaching, because all the Pharisees were preaching as well. What made Jesus different was the fact that he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that changed people's lives. You know, the gospel, according to Jesus, is the gospel of good news. Amen. Now, the good news is, when you got something that you're battling with, God can help you to sort it out. And God works, you know, the Bible says in mysterious ways, but bless God, He works. And this week we had the opportunity to minister to some people who, I want to say that they were blown away by what the power of God did in their lives, but I can see that it completely changed a whole lot of people. Not because of what was said, but because of what happened. When the Holy Spirit began to operate, when the power of God was released, it touched people inside. And I want to say something to you. We must thank God that we are involved in a ministry where the power of God is released into people and people get touched in their hearts. You know, I grew up in a church where the pastor that I was under, he preached fairly well. And God bless him. But I want to tell you something. I never once walked out of the church like my whole life was just shaken to the core. But I was in church one night when the power of God moved, and I got touched by that power. And I want to tell you something. That day my life changed completely. I'm actually going to share with you my testimony today. Whether I get to my sermon or not will be determined later. But I feel God wanting me to talk about these things, because these things are important and these are the things that people need. How many of you need some change in your life? Wave at me. Well, bless God, I'm so happy that you're in church today. So here's the story of my life. I grew up in a very, very Christian household. My father was involved in the Sunday school. My father was a teacher in the Sunday school. We had Bible studies and all sorts of stuff at my house. I went to church from knee-high to a grasshopper. I heard a lot of truth. I'm not going to say that I experienced much. I was very religious. In my young days, I used to drink like a fish. And here's the thing. I used to stumble into my bedroom, but I would not go to sleep until I at least said a prayer and read one verse from the Bible. Now, I'm not particularly proud of that, and I'm not saying that to make me look good or anything. I want you to understand that I was acting religiously, but I didn't necessarily have that relationship with God. I was afraid that if I die at night, I might not go to heaven. So as drunk as a skunk, I was trying to read scriptures. I don't think much made sense back in those days. In fact, those were the days when I used to think, wow, this stuff is very complicated. The Bible is complicated. With half a bottle of Jack Daniels down your throat, it's even more complicated. You understand? Nothing makes sense. And I attended church until such a time as I was, I don't know what the English word is, voorgesteld. Does anybody know what that word is in English? Presented to the church. When I remember my grandfather was all excited and he paid for me to have a new suit and the whole family was there to check me out, and that was it. There I drifted away. Because you see, now there was no more reason for me to go to church. Now I was more interested in having fun. And I did drift away from God. And one day my father comes home. I used to sit and have coffee with him in the mornings. And he says to me on that particular Monday morning, he says to me, wow, you should have been at church last night. I said, why? He says, because there was this gentleman that came to the church, and wow, the power of God was working through this man, and there was prophecy. He prophesied over people. Now, we come from a background where prophecy is like a really weird thing. You know, we don't really understand it. I had one experience with prophecy many years before, and I'm simply going to mention it today. I was in matric. I was sitting in the church. There was a gentleman that came to the church. Some of you might know him. His name was Eddie Trout. He's in America now, as far as I know, in Texas, of all places. And he had a prophetic ministry. And as he was in the church, busy preaching, he said, there's a young man sitting here today. Your life is not in a good place with God. Wada, 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 wada. But God says today, if you come forward, God's going to change your life. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, that sounds like me, but there's no way that I'm going to go forward. And he repeats it. He says again, there's a young man sitting here. God is busy talking to you. You need to respond to this because God has big things in store for you. And I'm sitting there and I'm, there's no way I'm going to respond to that. You expect me to come forward in front of all of these people? You must be mad. I mean, like, I'm getting smaller and smaller and smaller in my seat. Yeah. Here's my friend, Opira, who's as thick as a plank. Never knows nothing. Always the last one to figure anything out. He's sitting there. Hey, he's talking to you. I'm like, be quiet, be quiet. And that day, he ended off by saying, God says, it's a pity that you're not coming forward today. But God will not let go of you. And in time, God is going to bring you back. And that's exactly how it happened. So now it was about 3, 4, 5 years later. My father's talking to me about this man that came to church, and I hear about the prophecy. Now I'm already thinking, man, I had a bad experience with prophecy once before. This sounds dangerous. You see, in my brain, I had this thing that if somebody prophesies over you, they are going to go and touch on all the hidden things. You know, those things that you lock away in the closet. And they're going to tell the whole world what you've been up to. And now me, I've been a naughty boy, so I'm thinking to myself, this is not going to go down very well. In fact, if this oak is in Kibler Park, I'm going to be in Boksburg. Now, I don't want to be anywhere around where this oak is going to be. So my father invites me to church. Now, in order not to have too big a deal about it, I agreed. I said, okay, fine, I'll come to church. But I was lying. I'm going to just be very honest because in my heart, I was like, not going to go there. Sometimes you must understand God has a very good sense of humor. Because God took what I said seriously. He was like, is that so? You're going to go. I'm going to make you go. So I forget all about it. It's a Sunday. And normally on a Sunday, it was party day. Normally on a Sunday, by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was like all, you know, I was doing low flying. And this particular Sunday, things just happened to turn out quite differently. we went somewhere else, and you know, things just didn't happen. And by 6 o'clock that evening, I actually hadn't had any alcohol in, so I was sober as anything. And I had to go and drop off somebody in Kibler Park with another guy. I'm not even driving. I'm in the passenger seat. The other guy's driving. And as I'm driving, and I'll never forget, I just got my cell phone. The plot thickens. And he had rings. So I answered the cell phone. It was before caller ID. You don't know who's phoning. If I'd seen it was my father, I would have probably said, you know, beep, beep, not present. I'm answering the phone. I say, hello, it's my dad. He says, where are you? I say, I'm in Kibler Park, why? He says, great, I'll see you at church in 15 minutes. Now you must understand, if I had known that my father was phoning, and I would have known what he was phoning for, I would have still been in Boksburg. But now I've already committed myself there. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait, I've got a scapegoat here. I've got these friends with me that are, they like seriously uncircumcised Philistines. There's no way that they're going to want to go to church with me today. So I say to my dad, oh, dad, you must understand now. I've got these oaks in the car with me, and I don't think they want to go to church. My dad says, invite them with. So here's me. Guys, my dad says there's something happening at church. How many of you want to go to church? Yeah, sure, let's go. I'm sitting in the car, I'm thinking, this is the Twilight Zone. This can't be happening. Yeah, we all go to church. Anyway, first time in a couple of years that I'm back in church. I go sit right at the back. And the worship starts. Now, I must be honest, the worship was actually very good. I enjoyed it. It had changed a lot since the last time that I was at church, because there was some drums and there was some guitars, and it was really, really nice. I enjoyed it. It was uplifting. And then we go and we sit down, and yet this guy begins to preach. And I had the strangest experience. You know, if I tell you that I felt the power of God, I felt it in ways that I never thought you could feel it. Because here I am, I'm listening to this oak, and it's like a war begins to go on in my spirit. Because there's a part of me that is hearing everything this oak says. There's another part of me that is like, get out of here. This is not for you. You have to leave. There's the door. Just get up and go. And I've got this conflict going on inside of me. Eventually, I decide for myself, listen, yeah, this is not helping me. I need to go. And I try to get up. Do you know what happened? Nothing. I got stuck. God is my witness. I was locked to that chair. My brain was talking to my brain was screaming at my legs. Get up! Get up! This is not for you. Leave! My legs were like, we're not working. It actually felt like something was holding me on the chair. Now, I always thought of myself as a pretty sane individual, but at that moment I was quite convinced that I was going crazy. Because this is not normal. I've never felt this before. And then I started getting hot. My seat began to burn me. But now I can't get up. I'm getting heart palpitations. It's so loud that I can hardly hear myself think. Yet, above all of that, I'm still hearing every word that this man is saying. It's the strangest thing. You know, when the Word of God says that the Word of God can cut to your heart, I felt that myself. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, was cutting into my heart. And I didn't like the feeling. I felt like, wow, I have to get out of here. Eventually, we come to the place where he's finished his sermon. And I must be honest with you, it was a bloody good sermon. It was a really good sermon. We finished the sermon, and he says, if God spoke to you today, and you would like prayer, please come forward. You know, whatever was holding me to my chair immediately released me, but it was almost like it kicked me in the backside as well, like, go forward. And there I go. I start walking forward. Now, you remember I told you that I had this conflict going on inside of me. Now the conflict is getting worse and worse and worse, because with every step I take, it's like this voice is screaming at me. It's angry. It says, don't do this. This is not for you. There's the door. Get out of here. And I remember I was thinking to myself, you know what? It probably is time for me to change my life. And I made a decision. And I went. And the moment I did that, whatever this other thing was, now I know it was a demonic thing, but it just released me. And I walked. I came to the front. I was about the third or the fourth person that was prayed for that night. The guy came, he laid hands on me, he prayed for me, and the power of God came upon me. I went down. Boom. You know, I saw when they were praying for other people, they were falling, and I was thinking also in my mind, like, probably they're pushing these people over or something. You know, I stood there. I didn't feel nobody touch me or push me. I just started feeling lighter and lighter, and the next thing I know, ooh, I'm on the floor. I don't even know how that happened. But now I'm lying here on the floor. And this was what shook me. You know, I was religious. I believed in God. Don't get me wrong. God was a reality. But I never experienced God. For the first time in my life, I can tell you that I now have proof that what I believed is real. Because this oak didn't put me on the floor. Something else did. I felt something come all around my body, and I just... And now I'm beginning to feel things happen inside of me. It feels like there's a presence that's on top of me. I can't see it, but I can feel it. And it's like waves begin to go through my body. And as these waves come, it's like something begins to happen. At times I cried. At times I laughed. At times I just spoke to God. But every now and then this wave, almost like, you know, the Bible says we must be washed by the word. It's almost like that's happening to me. The word that was preached is washing through my spirit. And I'm feeling lighter and lighter and lighter. You know, I've referred to the Asterix and Obelix comics before. But in one of the Asterix comics, they drink a magic potion that went a bit off, and then the oaks begin to float. And I felt like that's going to happen to me. It's like, at any point in time, I'm going to begin to float. And you know what? I'm speaking to God. Before, when I used to pray, I used to have the same rhyme. By the grace of God, I can't even remember the rhyme anymore. I had the same rhyme every night. It's like, what. You know, have you ever heard, what's his name? Bart Simpson. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. You know? Okay. Okay, mine wasn't that crude, but I had this little rhyme that I brought with me from a young age. And before I used to go to sleep, that's what I used to pray. Now, I'm talking to God. But I'm seriously talking to God about my life. And you know what? It's like I'm speaking to somebody who's listening to me. Because you see, in my life, God has just become a reality. He's not a stranger anymore. You know, before I used to be afraid of God. I honestly had this view that God sat up there, now and then when I made nonsense, a lightning bolt spiritually zapped me and I had problems in my life. So I didn't experience God as being close. I always experienced God as being far off. And I'm lying in this church and things are happening to me. Come 12 o'clock at night, the dominie walks over to my dad. He says to my dad, "Here's the keys. I'm going to sleep now. You lock the church. Please put the keys in the mailbox." Things are still happening to me. I think it was about 9 o'clock when they prayed for me. 10, 11, 12. For 3 hours, I'm under the power of God. For 3 hours, it felt like this invisible presence was heavy upon me. And things were just happening to me the whole time. I get up. After, let's say, close on 4 hours, this presence lifts. I cannot tell you how different I feel. You know, when I got up, it felt like I lost 20 kilograms. It's almost like the weight of the world had been removed from me. You know, when you are in the presence of God, things change. What was a big problem to you yesterday, today is no longer a big problem. What was a serious issue is just, it's nothing. It's insignificant. I went home that night. And I fell asleep because I was tired. But the next morning when I woke up, I was sitting on my bed. And I'm remembering everything that happened the night before. And as I'm remembering these things that happened before, I start talking to God again. But now, I'm not praying. I'm just having a conversation with God. And I say to God, Lord, you know, I've never really thought about these things. But it's just dawned on me now. I might actually be on this earth for a different reason than what I thought. What if I'm not just here to do a normal work? What if I'm not just, because at that stage I was working for myself. I thought, what if I'm not actually here for that? What if God put me here to work for Him? And I said to the Lord, Lord, if that's true, if You actually put me here to work for You, then I agree. In fact, I volunteer. But I have this one condition. Now, I didn't know if I was doing the right thing or the wrong thing. That was just what was in my heart. I said to the Lord, Lord, whatever that person had that prayed for me last night, give me that. If I can have that, Lord, You can use me anytime, anywhere, any place. And I was a little bit stupid because, you see, back then, what did we understand about the Holy Spirit? Nothing. So I didn't understand that what I was asking God for was, I want the power of the Holy Spirit that was on that man. Give me the same thing. Was I wrong to ask that? No. God wanted me to ask that. You see, here's something you have to understand. You can't do nothing for God in your flesh. Your flesh means nothing. But what comes through the Spirit of God working in and through you is going to change people's lives. This week I was sharing this same testimony with people before we started ministering to them. Because I think sometimes people don't understand how the Holy Spirit actually operates and how the Holy Spirit works. But one thing I want to say to you about the Holy Spirit, He works supernaturally. You know what happened to me that night in that church was supernatural. And everybody could see that something was happening to me. You know, life is funny, but we all have, I think you can relate. By the time you get to your 30s or your 40s or wherever you are right now, or even your 50s or 60s, life has not always been kind to you. People have hurt you. People have stabbed you in the back. You have had loads of disappointments. You have experienced failure. You have experienced lack and hardship, trials and tribulations. Some of us, it's only by the grace of God that we're still standing. And you know, all of that stuff weighs you down. Something chronic. But 1 hour in the presence of God can start dealing with that in ways that you can never imagine. Sometimes the way I look at the Holy Spirit is like a bit of a panel beater. You know, when you smash a car, some people will look at that car and say, oh, that thing is scrap. A panel beater will look at it and say, oh, that's nothing. Give me 2 weeks with that thing and you won't know it. That's how God is when He works with us. He starts panel beating. Where life was caused us to become defective, or we've skewed a bit, the Holy Spirit begins to push us back. He begins to fix us. He brings us back to where we're supposed to be, because you see, from the moment we start walking on this earth, the enemy uses people and circumstances to come against us. The enemy doesn't want you to be the man or woman that God called you to be. And he will often use people, especially their tongues, sometimes the way they treat you, and sometimes circumstances to try and cause you to be defective. You see, that night when I was under the power of God, maybe I wasn't so much changed as restored. Because God always had a plan for my life. You know, there is a scripture, let me read you from the book of Jeremiah. A scripture that a lot of people don't take notice of. Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to read you verse 4 and 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. Now Jeremiah is a prophet and God's talking to him. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now this is heavy stuff, because Jeremiah was already a prophet before he was born. Now, some people might think that Jeremiah became a prophet when he was, let's say, 17 years old and they anointed him and he was ordained as a prophet. But according to God, from the moment he breathed his first breath on this planet, he was already a prophet. And that's why I say to you, maybe I wasn't so much changed as just restored. Because when you were born, you were already somebody to God. But life pushes us very far from where we're supposed to be. You know, disappointment is something that can destroy people. There are people on this planet called to be movers and shakers. People called to establish, to plant, to reap the harvest that right now is sitting in a rocking chair somewhere saying, leave me alone, don't touch me, don't talk to me, because of what life has done to them. Dr. Phil can't fix you. Oprah lost the plot a long time ago. Jerry Springer will corrupt you. God will fix you. Amen? God will fix you. And you see, the thing that you have to understand about the Holy Spirit, He doesn't always have to make sense. Too many people today have this attitude that when they see something in church that doesn't make sense, it must mean that this is not right. I want to tell you something. If you're sitting in a church where everything always makes sense, you must ask whether God is actually there. Because God moves in mysterious ways. And God moves in the power of the supernatural. Today we have no more time for the supernatural. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people's attitude is, if it happened in the church and it is supernatural, it is of the devil. I find that ridiculous, because we've come to a place where we've now assigned the power of the supernatural to Satan only, yet God could create the heavens and the earth by speaking a word. How supernatural is that? Amen. Listen, God took a piece of clay, He breathed in it, and it became alive. How supernatural is that? Jesus walked on water. He took the cripple by the hand, raised them up. He spat on a man's tongue, and he began to speak. He pushed mud into the eyes of the blind, and they began to see. How supernatural is that? If Jesus needed that, if Peter needed that, if Paul needed that, if John needed that, if Mark needed that, where did we somehow become so special that we don't need it? And you know, Jesus spoke to them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, all of them. He spoke to them and He said to them, do not go out of this city until you have received power from on high. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ if you do not have the power that Jesus Himself spoke of. When I was in that church that day, I was touched by the power of God. And I want to say something to you. The power of God did more for me than all the sermons before. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying a good sermon doesn't have its place. What I'm trying to tell you is, the Pharisees also preached to people. Nobody changed. Because the Pharisees did not have the power of God. There are many churches all over this world today where good sermons are being preached, but unless it is sprinkled with the power of God, there will be no change. Because God is the only one that can bring about change. I sat on my bed and I spoke to God and I said to the Lord, Lord, if you put me here for a reason, then use me. But whatever that oak had, in my understanding, I knew the reason I feel different today is because something working through that man touched me. And I was, let's just say, savvy enough to understand there's a lot of other people that also need this. And maybe God wants to use me. And God did use me. You know, when God just touched my life, I had a very exciting life. Things happened on a daily basis. You know, I almost want to say to you that I had to fasten my seatbelt because I never knew what was going to happen next. But I had these amazing experiences. I would be sitting talking to people in a secular situation. Like, I remember many times I would sit in somebody's office and I would be looking for a way to speak to them about God. Whereas before, when they start talking religion, I'm out of there. And I was like, ooh, this is not for me. Like, I'm gone. Now, I'm the one looking for a way to talk about God. And then as I'm talking to them about God, they're actually listening to me. And they begin to ask questions. And they're like, oh, wow, this is so interesting. And then, inevitably, won't you pray for me? Sure, I will pray for you. Hey. And then I pray for them. And then the popo used to hit the fan. I had demons manifesting all over the place. In the most unlikely places. But I saw how the power of God began to set people free. You know, somebody asked me this week, how did I start my ministry? Do you want to know how I started my ministry? By being available? By being obedient? By simply being there? And doing what God wanted me to do. One of the first people that I prayed for, if I have to calculate, it was probably 22, 23 years ago. My son Matthew was either just born or he had just not been born. It was in that time of my life. There was a lady that used to come to our church. Now, because I'm all excited about God and I'm all excited about how the Holy Spirit works, I'm talking to everybody. So the one day, after church, I'm talking to her and she says to me, listen, yeah, my brother has lots of problems. And we don't know what to do with him anymore because he hasn't been to work in ages because he's been boarded for this and boarded for that and boarded for that. And it's just problems, problems. And I said, okay, fine. She says, can you pray for him? I said, yes, of course. Now, he is in a church somewhere. Nobody's ever prayed for him. Most people don't even know what's going on in his life. Yeah, he rocks up at my house. We sit, we have a nice chat. I make him a cup of coffee. We begin to talk about his life. Man, he had a tough life. He had one of those anything that can go wrong and probably will lives. You can just see as far as he went in life, accidents, problems, calamity, sickness. Man, he had a list of sicknesses like probably 2 A4 pages long. On top of that, he's manically depressed. You know, he's got no life. We're talking about that. So I say to him, you know, it sounds to me suspiciously like your life could be cursed. But you know what? Let's pray and ask God to help you. At that stage, I wasn't even praying against the devil. I'm just praying for the guy, you know. So I start praying for him. I'll never forget. He's sitting on the chair. Yeah, I'm standing here. I've got my hand on his head. I'm saying, Lord, have mercy upon this man, your servant. Please bless him today and help him. And may the hand of God come and heal him. And while I'm praying this, I'm beginning to hear these weird noises. Like something growling. I know I don't have a dog. And it's just me and him in the room. And I'm having this moment. And then it's apparent this is coming from the guy. So now I take a step back. And as I take a step back, I'm not even going to try and copy it. This oak's face is pulled into this really hideous, like, I don't know. It looks like some weird death mask. His nostrils are flaring. His eyes are protruding. It almost looked like there's a light on behind them. And they've got this orange glow. His tongue is coming out like a snake's. It's like, you know. And this thing's like, you know. Hey. That's when you have to figure out, have you got faith or not? Because your flesh is like, oh, we're out of here. Your spirit says fight. By the grace of God, I listened to my spirit that day. So, I'm like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come out of this man. And then, you know, eventually the demon, I commanded him to tell me who he was. So the demon tells me he's the reason why this man has nothing. I said, oh, is that so? He says, yeah, I steal everything from him. I take his health. I take his peace in his mind. I've robbed him of his mental faculties. He never has money because every time he thinks he has money, I make a plan for him to lose everything. If I can't make him sick, I break his car, I do this, I do that. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I must remember all this stuff. But then I commanded the thing to come out. It didn't want to leave. It told me, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. I'm staying here. This man belongs to me. And that's where I figured out that some of them are very stubborn and you just have to keep praying and praying and praying and praying. And then the thing began to leave. Now guess what happened? The oak vomited all over my carpets. I'm thinking, okay, go fetch a bucket, come back. Probably 2 hours that night, evil spirits were coming out of this man. I didn't really know what to expect. And God didn't care whether I knew or understood. God said you want to be used. I'm using you. But I want to tell you something. When that session finished, this man looked like a completely different person. Do you know, it looked like he'd gone for, there used to be a program on TV, Extreme Makeover. It looked like somebody had given him an extreme makeover. He looked younger, much younger. His skin looked different. His eyes had life where before they looked dead. Everything about him looked different. Even the way that he stood up and the way that he walked, he used to be like, hold on. Now he was like, you know, you could see something happened. He was different. Now, guess what happened after that? His life changed. And, you know, you can fake things for a while, but people will eventually see through it. People can see whether something is real and when something is fake. His family began to notice this massive change. The first one that noticed the change was his wife. She phoned me, what did you do to my husband? I was like, what do you mean? Oh, he's a completely different man. He's doing things. He's getting out of bed in the morning. He's excited. He's got a new job. Oh, okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that. I didn't do it. God did it. And then other family of his phoned me. And then friends of his phoned me. So the next thing I know, all these people want to come and see me for prayer. Me, I don't even know what happened. But slowly but surely, people began to phone me. Can you pray for me for this? Can you pray for me for that? When I went out, I'm talking to people. Things begin to happen. You know, it came to a place where, in a very short period of time, this was taking up all of my time. God was good because God taught me practically. You know, there was a time when I wanted to go out and study. For those of you that don't know me, I have no studies. This is my studies. The Word of God. I didn't go to university. I actually did, but not for this. I'm an engineer. But today, the only thing I engineer is nice sermons. Amen. God spoke to me. And God said to me, do not go study. I am going to teach you everything you need to know. And you know what? I want to tell you something. My life testifies of it. Because most of the times, God throws me in the deep end. I don't know nothing. And then he says, don't worry, it'll be okay. I have faith in you. And the next thing I know, we're on the other side. And God has helped. And so things began to grow. Things became bigger. Then something interesting happened. I was quite content praying for people in my lounge. You know, I had my own business. I worked for myself. And then I would, in the evenings, have people come over for prayer. And, you know, I would pray for them. And I saw amazing things. And I was happy. You know, my life was in a good place. And, in fact, I came to a place that I used to say, this is good enough for me. I'm happy. God blesses me with my work. God blesses me by praying for people. This is where I want to be with my life. But God wasn't happy with me. Because you see, God had much bigger things for me, and I was now becoming a stumbling block to the work of the Holy Spirit. So one night I have a dream. I dreamt that I was sitting in a car, How many of you know the road that goes past Southgate, going there towards Walkerville? The R82. There by the Lido Hotel is a set of robots. Now, if you're sitting there then and you look up, you see that long road going up to Southgate. I dreamt I was sitting in a car and I was getting ready to pull off in this car. Now, in the dream, I was aware that this was a very powerful car. It had a V8 motor, and I was like all excited that I'm going to drive this V8, and I could feel like, you could feel the power as it was idling. It was like, you know, I'm like, yeah, it was probably a Chevy, but anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm getting ready and I'm going to drop the clutch and I'm going to feel this power. And so I do that, and it's like, nothing happens. The car stalls. I start it again, all excited, rev, 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 everything sounds fine. Drop the clutch. Nothing happens. And you know how dreams are? In a twinkling of an eye, you're in one place and then you're in another place. Suddenly I'm in my study, and in front of me is a scale model of the same car. And I remember in the dream, I pick it up and I'm looking at it, and the roof could come off. So I took the roof off, and I'm looking inside the car. And in the dream, I say to myself, oh, that's the problem. The handbrake is on. So I put my finger between the two seats, and I drop the handbrake, and immediately, I'm back in the big car. I'm feeling the power. I drop the clutch. There the thing goes. I get to the top of the hill, and there's these two figures lying dead. They dressed like in the old Elizabethan clothing. You know, that like Shakespearean, funny-looking, poofy McGafters? Both of them are wearing crowns on their head. When I woke up, this dream bothered me. Because something in me knew God was talking to me through the dream, but I didn't know what the dream meant. So I prayed and I said to the Lord, Lord, please speak to me about this dream because it's bothering me. It was like this dream wouldn't let me go. It kept sitting here. And for a couple of days, I couldn't understand the dream. And then one day, just suddenly, boom, I knew. This is what the dream meant. God was showing me that there's two cars. One is small and one is big. In the dream, I didn't want the small car. I wanted the big one. But when I tried to use the big one, it couldn't go because something with a small car stopped the big car from running. And God said to me, you have two ministries. One is the one that you're busy with now, that you say you're happy with. The other one is what is about to come, which is what your spirit wants. And until you don't change your attitude about the small one, you'll never have the big one. My attitude of, this is good enough for me, I don't want any better, that was what was upsetting God. Because I was limiting God. You see, I want you to understand something. It's not my choice. God put me here for Him. It's not for me to tell God, I want this and this and this. It's for me to say to the Lord, Lord, what do You want? Didn't Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You see, I was like trying to enforce my will on God, and that was wrong. Now, in the dream, there were two cars. The small one was me sitting in my lounge talking to people and praying for them. I would always just have a dinky toy. God said to me, I don't want you to have a dinky toy. I want you to have the real deal. Change your attitude, and you can have that. And you'll enjoy that much more. And I want to be honest with you, I enjoy it much more. But there were these two funny looking things that died. They were two principalities. You see, part of the reason why I felt the way I felt was because the enemy was like, no man, why you want to go and do other things? You're doing more than enough for God. You see, that was that little voice speaking to me. And I had to conquer that before I could move on. When I understood the dream, I went on my knees and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I realize now that I was wrong. And Lord, I realize that my attitude has probably stopped you from doing some amazing things through my life and with my life. And then I actually said to the two things that God showed me in the dream that I have to die, I take authority over you right now, and in the name of Jesus, whatever influence you have in stopping me from having what God says is mine, it stops today. And you know what? It was like I was praying in my study. The atmosphere in my study went electric. It felt like my hair was on fire. My skin began to crawl. It felt like there was this whirlwind that started moving around me, and then suddenly, it was gone. That was the influence that was keeping me down there. Through a dream, God showed me what needs to change. You know, I always used to say, oh, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I just pray for people. Sometimes we can be very naive, and sometimes we can be very stupid. A week after I prayed, I get a phone call. Hello, this is so-and-so, wada, wada, wada. We are from this church, and we would like to invite you to come and preach at our church. Now, if I had that phone call a week earlier, I would have said no. I would have said, you know what, I'm sorry, I don't do that. If you want me to pray for somebody, send them, but I don't preach. When that phone call came, the dream came to me, and God said to me, this is where I want to take you. But I want to just say, it's scary when you got to walk on that water. Because me, I don't know nothing about preaching. Oh, today I can preach, but back then, what do I know? Nobody's ever shown me what to do. Nobody's taught me nothing. And while this person is talking to me, I'm starting to get this like hyperventilation, panic attack, what. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I said yes. But when I put the phone down, it's like, you know. Now I'm thinking to myself, ooh, I have to go and preach. I don't know nothing about preaching. I've got my Bible. I'm down there. I have 2 weeks, I think, before I have to be there. So now I'm asking God to give me a sermon. First day, there's no sermon. Second day, there's no sermon. You get the idea. 2 weeks later, there's no sermon. I keep reading things and then I write things down. I look like one of those oaks that have writer's block. There's just crumpled paper everywhere. Because I write a bit, then it's not working. Okay, I read a bit, I write a bit, it's not working. The Thursday, I have to go. I'm driving down. It's there in the Karoo, small little church in the Karoo. I'm driving down. I'm praying. I say, Lord, here I am. I'm driving to this church. I have to go and preach there. I don't know nothing. Please talk to me on the way. Now, here's me on the way driving. Devil, I rebuke you. You get away from me. You don't corrupt my communication. You know, I'm like, God's going to talk to me now. Silence. Silence is golden. Except when you really want to hear from God, then it's not golden. So I'm driving down and I'm like, oh. I get down there. I'm thinking, okay, somewhere there will be some time for me to be alone and I'm going to focus on God and I'm going to get like a revelation. I get there, there's like 50 people that want prayer. They're all waiting at this woman's house. There's no time for nothing. Pray for this one, pray for that one, pray for that one. It's Saturday night, 11 o'clock. I still haven't heard nothing from God. I'm sitting on my bed. This is literally what I'm looking like. My eyes are like, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. Oh, I don't hear nothing. And then God speaks to me. I hear this voice say to me, Rion, when people come to see you at your house, what do you do? I say, I talk to them, Lord. He says, go tomorrow, talk to the people. It'll be fine. I'm like, wow, why didn't I think of that? I closed the Bible, I fell asleep. Next morning, I go to the church. Now, I was all happy when I heard this, but now I get to the church, now it's like, ooh, there's a lot of people here. So the praise and worship starts. I'm like, oh, it's only the worship. And after every song, I can feel my nerves. Then they come and call me. The scriba wants to see me. I don't know what you call that in English, but in any case, he's the guy that has to take down your sermon and what you're going to preach. What. So he calls me into this room. He introduces himself. He says, I need to just quickly write down your details. Okay, fine, no problem. He says, what is your opening scripture? What do you mean, my opening scripture? I don't have an opening scripture. He's looking at me. He had his goggles like that. He says, okay, what is your main paragraph? I don't have one. He's looking at me. He asked me three times. I had this feeling that after the fourth time, if I don't give him something, he's going to tell me to leave. So I just said, Ephesians 6 verse 10. He said, what is that? I said, everything. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Okay, fine. He writes Ephesians 6 verse 10. I go there. Praise and worship is finished. It's time for me to start. So I start praying. I say, can we please pray? So I start and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. You see, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, the longer I pray, the less I have to sermon. Yeah? Seeing as I don't have a sermon, you have to... Time management. Yeah. Eventually, there was nothing more to pray. You know, I've already prayed for the whole crew, so I say amen. Now I have to start talking. And you know what? I opened my mouth and I started talking. And God knows, I didn't know where those words came from. It was mind-blowing. Half the time, I'm thinking to myself, gee, this is good stuff. I hope I remember this. I don't know where it's coming from. I want to tell you something. I can't take no credit for what came out of my mouth that day, because me, I don't even know where that stuff came from. But I want to say something to you. I say amen. We're in a small little dorpie in Ikarua. It's my first time preaching. When I said amen, the people start running forward. I thought it was a lynch mob. I better get out of here. It turns out, no, they're all excited. They want to come and say thank you for the word. And a lot of them want me to pray for them for stuff. And you know what? I prayed for them. And after the service, I went to be alone somewhere. And I spoke to God. I said to the Lord, Lord, I am blown away. Because nothing in me could have ever prepared me for what I just experienced now. How does this stuff work? I'll tell you how it works. God makes it work. You know, when the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want to tell you something. My life is a walking testimony that it's got nothing to do with you. Or anything in you, God uses you in spite of you, not because of you. I have human limitations. I fail at many things, but God is still good, and God still works in amazing ways. I come back. I'm all excited. I tell you what, for days I couldn't sleep because my brain was just full of everything that God has been doing. Boom, I get a phone call. It's an English pastor. I prayed for one or two of his young people in his church, at my house, with my little car. He says to me, listen, you know, my people have a lot of good things to say about you. I've experienced you once or twice myself. I like what I'm seeing. I want you to come and preach at my church on Sunday night. Now you must understand, today I can actually speak English. Back then I was like very deliciously, you know, it's like... In fact, I didn't even own an English Bible. Again, I remember the dream. God says to me, this is from me, do it. Okay, fine, I'll be there. First thing I do, I get into my car, I go to the nearest bookshop, Christian bookshop, and I say, I want an English Bible, please. So the oak starts putting down 1, 2, 3, four, five, six. I say, why are you putting so many? This is this translation, and that's that translation, and that's. I say, hey. Which one is good? He said to me, well, what is it that you need it for? I said, I'm going to go preach. The oak still looked at me with this like, you're going to go preach? I said, yeah, I'm going to go preach. I said, listen, yeah, I want one, and I don't want all the thee and the thou and the what. He says, New International Version. I said, thank you. I took my New International Version. I'm out of there. Now I go home. I say to the Lord, Lord, you know what? I really had a blast at that other church, and it was wonderful, but I can't, my nerves can't handle the stress. Please give me a sermon before I go. Okay. So I'm sitting there. Things begin to come to me. I write down. We go to this church. I walk in there. It's packed. There's not room for a mouse. And then the pastor comes and introduces me to the people that run this church's seminary. In other words, the people that train pastors. There's five of them. I'm thinking, oh. Now, I didn't need to hear that. Okay. And they're sitting in the front row. And they all look a little bit. My legs went. At one stage, I excuse myself. I'm standing outside there. I'm praying. I say, Lord, please. I'm so nervous. I'm so stressed. I'm so worried. I don't think I can do it. In fact, I feel I got a headache. Maybe I need to go home. God didn't care. He kept quiet. In fact, I had the feeling he said, my boy, just go back in there. So I went back in. It's time for me to go and preach. Now, these people, they got a stage. I have to walk up the steps. If there wasn't a handrail, I would never have made it up the steps because my legs were jelly. I get to the top. This is what I look like. If I'm not holding on to this thing today, I'm not standing. I'm like, big stress and drama. Anyway, I say, let's pray. Pray. By the time I've repeated myself twice, I'm thinking, oh, I better start preaching. I take my notes, I start talking. Half of what was on my notes, I didn't even share. Same thing happened. Do you know, on both occasions, and I forgot to say that the previous time, it felt like something came over me, like, whew. Now I know it was the mantle, the cloak of the Holy Spirit. And I feel that many times happen to me. It's like something comes over me. And then I know what's coming out of my mouth now is coming directly from there. That night, you know what? My English today is fairly good. Back then it was hardly comprehensible. Thank you. And I tell you what, I came up with some English words there. If my English teacher had heard me that day, he would have thought, man, I did a good job. But it wasn't me. There were some words that, till today, I don't know what they mean. But they came out of my mouth. It's like, hey, not bad. I get to the end of my sermon. The church is full. I say to the people, well, if there's anybody here today that feel that God spoke to them and you want to be prayed for, please come forward. I'll pray for you. It's like 100 people coming for prayer. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I don't know how I'm going to do this. So I say to them, okay, there's a lot of you. I don't think I have time to come and pray for all of you individually. That was in my beginning years. You know, now I handle things differently. But back then, this is just the way it was. I say to them, please take hands. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Then you pray with me and then we trust God to do the job. Okay, fine.
Hey.
I start praying. I hadn't even said 10 words. When the first guy dropped down and started going like a snake, his tongue shooting out, there was somebody there in the third row going, you know, like, starts going mad, and we have demons manifesting everywhere. The pastor that invited me, he's like, what's happening here? But now he's looking at me for answers. What's happening here? I'm like, I'm not sure. I said, but don't worry, everything will be okay. In my heart, I'm like, oh God, please help me. 12 o'clock that night, I left that church. The power of God moved through there. It looked like a war zone. But there was people delivered. There was people healed. There was people set free. There was lives changed. I get a phone call the next morning. It's from this pastor. He says to me, can I please see you today at my house at about 1 o'clock? Of course, now my brain starts working. I'm thinking, oh, these people are not happy with what happened yesterday. I'm preparing my defense. I get there at 1 o'clock. There's a whole bunch of cars in the driveway. I walk into the house. There's like 10 people sitting in a circle. I'm thinking, ooh, it's worse than what I thought. He introduces me. He says, this is my leadership, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Please come and sit down. I sit down. I'm waiting for it. The pastor says, listen, yeah, we like what we saw last night. We want more of it. Can you come and preach here once a month? I never expected that. But I said yes. A couple of weeks later, another church phoned me. They heard what was happening at this church where I was preaching once a month. They invited me to come and preach. That night there was a man there that couldn't speak. He'd been mute for something like 25 years. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, his tongue came loose. He started talking. That was just one of the things God did. God did big things there. The next morning I got a phone call from the pastor. We discussed it with our leadership. We want to invite you to come and preach once a month. A couple of weeks later, I get a phone call from a different pastor. He says, can you come and preach on Sunday? I said, yeah, sure. He somehow invited me for the morning service. I preached there once. I was invited back once a month. Within 9 months, every Sunday, I was preaching. Sometimes just in the evening, sometimes mornings and evenings. What prepared me? God prepared me. Is it anything in me? No, it's not. It's the grace of God. What started all of this? A touch from God. People sometimes think we go overboard. I want to tell you something. Respectfully, I sat through many, many, many good sermons. None of them changed my life. They do give you food for thought, and you should listen to them and you should obey. But what most people need is for God to touch their life. It changes you forever. The Apostle Paul was called Saul. He was a Pharisee that had studied under a man by the name of Gamaliel, who was the top rabbi of his era. Nobody knew the Bible like Saul. Yet his interpretation of the Bible was cockeyed. He thought he was doing God a favor by eradicating Christianity until he had an encounter with Christ. When he was touched by God, his whole life changed. Saul became Paul when God touched him. God restored my life when God touched me. And I know God needs to touch people for things to truly begin to change in your life. If you are stuck somewhere in your life, if you feel you can't have a breakthrough, if you have things in your life that you can't sort out, I want to tell you something. Begin to cry out to God to truly come and touch you. Open your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I need you to touch me deep inside. I need the sword of the Spirit of God to cut through the rubbish and into my heart, because I truly want to be a new creature in Christ. And I believe God will do that for you. He did it for me. And He's not a respecter of man. Did my testimony bless anybody? Give the Lord a big hand, please.